Item number five, a public hearing on the city of Cloverdale. And once again, we test my reading skills. This is the time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider rescission of existing wastewater requirement order number 96-9 and whether to affirm, reject, or modify proposed waste discharge requirements order number R1-2006-004 for the City of Cloverdale Wastewater Treatment Facility. This item has been properly noticed. A sheet explaining the procedures for this hearing is available at the handout table. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath?
Mr. Massey, before you go much further,
yes.
We have a little glitch that Scotia was also supposed to be on the consent calendar. And if we can take care of that item of business before Cloverdale, Mr. Vogt can go home.
Okay, then how about we do this, since everybody is standing and they have their hand raised, if you would. Do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter? Thank you very much. Be seated. We will in one moment get to the staff, but back to the item of...
Number six. Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we approve order R1-2006-0020, Pacific Lumber Company renewal of national pollutant discharge elimination system permit number CA0006017 and whatever that other number is.
I'll second that extremely clear motion. I do have a question for legal counsel. We're taking it from public hearing to consent calendar. Can we do that legally?
Yes.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, then you're free to go now.
And I just like to acknowledge that both all of the work that went into both the Scotia permit as well as the treated groundwater permit, just a tremendous amount of help and cooperation from, in the case of Scotia, Mr. Vogt and his staff, our staff, US EPA, the environmental groups, just a whole lot of cooperation to come to the, you know, to the point that we can just adopt it without talking about it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it just, as staff, it feels like a bit of a letdown after all that work. It's like you're in and you're out. So thank you.
I think it is worth noting that I believe the State Board does not use a consent calendar precisely because the staff does a very, very good job, and it is a recognition of that. And for all those involved, we do absolutely appreciate that process. Thank you.
And ditto for the groundwater
yes.
Cleanup. I noticed that staff is gone, but they've also worked very hard.
Thank you. All right, back to the City of Cloverdale, and at this point we will start with our staff presentation. Good morning, Ms. Goodwin.
Good morning, Chairman Massey and members of the board. My name is Kathy Goodwin, and I am staff to the Regional Water Board. The item before you for consideration this morning is renewal of an NPDES permit for the City of Cloverdale Wastewater Treatment Plant. Cloverdale is currently operating under a permit that was adopted in 1996, and the proposed order before you today will bring the Cloverdale Wastewater Treatment Facility up to date with current regulations. I'm going to give you a brief overview of the treatment and disposal facilities, the permit, and the comments received. And at this time, I would like to enter the file into the record. Cloverdale is located along Highway 101, which is shown in the red line here, in the northern portion of Sonoma County, about 25 miles from here. The wastewater treatment facility is located adjacent to the Russian River, just south at the southern end of town. And It's located at an elevation that is lower than most of the city, and thus the city's wastewater is able to flow mostly by gravity to the wastewater treatment plant. The facility serves approximately 8,300 people from 3,000 primarily residential connections. This photo here was taken in 1997, I think it was in the month of June, and it shows the wastewater treatment facility right here and the surrounding area, which is in, you know, similar condition to what we would see there today. I'm going to give you an overview of the facility with this slide with additional details to follow. Let's see. So the main part of the treatment plant is right here, and it provides secondary wastewater treatment for an average dry weather flow of 1 million gallons per day and a peak wet weather flow of 8.25 million gallons per day. Wastewater enters the plant through the headworks, which is about right here. Excuse my shaky hand. And then it goes to the primary aeration pond, which has fine bubble diffusers, so you don't see the air bubbling at the top of the ponds. Then it flows to the secondary aeration pond that has mechanical aerators. And then it flows to a polishing, settling pond. Then from here, treated effluent flows through an underground pipeline to about here where chlorine is added. And then chlorine contact occurs in a 1,200-foot-long underground pipeline that runs along the dike, underneath the dikes of the ponds there. The chlorinated effluent is then discharged to one of the city's 7 percolation ponds, which are located here. And these ponds actually receive wastewater year-round. And they're located adjacent to the Russian River, which flows from left to right, which is essentially north to south along the east side of the ponds. The facility is also equipped with dechlorination facilities. There's a little building right there, and a discharge outfall pipe about here that has allowed them to discharge directly to the Russian River. The city has not had a direct discharge to the Russian River for over 10 years because the perk ponds handle all of the city's flows year-round under all but the most extreme of weather conditions. And then just one other thing to point out in this slide, this big pond feature here is not part of the city's treatment facilities. It belongs to a lumber mill site just north of the facility. This on-the-ground photo I took in April of this year, and I just show it here to show the ponds on the ground. Headworks is about right here. It's equipped with flow monitoring and bar screen and spiral clean units that remove larger solids, and then the water flows to the primary aeration pond, secondary, and then into this third polishing and settling pond. This is a close-up of one of the large percolation ponds. Cloverdale's percolation ponds provide significant percolation all year long. The 7 ponds have a combined capacity of 35 million gallons. And this pond here, at the time I took the picture in April, contained all of the treated wastewater at that particular date. And so, you know, it shows, you know, that the ponds do provide good percolation for the city. This photo shows one of the other ponds, and it shows the city actually comes in the summertime and plows up the bottoms of the pond to, you know, help promote the percolation. And so it just shows another view of a percolation pond that did not have wastewater at the time of my inspection in April. I mentioned earlier that Cloverdale has an outfall for direct discharges to the Russian River. The city can't actually discharge directly to the Russian River in compliance with its permit, and this is because the basin plan requires advanced wastewater treatment for any direct discharge to the Russian River. Advanced wastewater treatment involves the addition of filtration equipment that helps to achieve higher removal of solids and BOD than what is achieved with their secondary wastewater treatment facility. So at this point in time, the city has not upgraded to advanced wastewater treatment. Thus, they've very successfully been able to discharge all of their wastewater to their perk ponds, like I said, for over 10 years. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit. The basin plan also prohibits discharges to the Russian River and its tributaries during the period of May 15th and September 30th of each year. Because the city's ponds percolate so well, the city hasn't needed to discharge directly to the Russian River most winters. There were two exceptions during the last 20 years, and that was in March of 1986 and January of 1985, and even during those times, they had to discharge maybe a couple of days at most to just get through a very high flow period. The city did not need to discharge directly to the Russian River even this past New Year's when we had the extreme flooding conditions. And they attribute this to the fact that they were receiving lower influent flows than they have in past years when they've had to discharge. And the lower influent flows can be attributed to the fact that the city has worked hard over the last several years to address collection system issues, and they've been able to reduce infiltration and inflow into their collection system quite significantly. Can you go back one, Greg? Thanks. So at this time, I'm going to talk about how the new permit differs from the existing permit that the city is operating under. The new permit uses the new state board permit template, so it is a lot larger than what the city has received in the past. And then the permit itself contains several notable changes from the existing permit. The first one that I'd like to talk about is the fact that it contains California toxic rule effluent limitations, including limitations for several priority pollutants, including copper, cyanide, carbon tetrachloride, mercury, and dichlorobromomethane. These requirements apply only for direct discharges to the river, but they are in the permit because they are still using an NPDES permit. The permit also includes acute and chronic toxicity requirements as required by the state's policy for implementation of the California Toxics Rule. The new permit also contains a number of new standard language provisions regarding operation and maintenance, wastewater collection systems, sanitary sewer overflows, source control, and solids and handling. And again, this is to address issues that we haven't typically had a lot of language on in the past, but it'll improve communication and our ability to evaluate compliance with all regulations. And then the permit contains a special study requirement that I'll discuss with the next slide. During recent years, staff has observed evidence that wastewater pollutants from percolation ponds may reach nearby surface waters. And again, in this slide, we've got the treatment plant, the percolation ponds, and then the Russian River flowing along here. And actually, you can see that the water is in a channel here, but if you go between the tree lines, you know, the river is actually, you know, goes between the tree lines where you've got gravel bars and areas where the river can meander during higher flow conditions. The discharge of pollutants to surface water via groundwater may be subject to being permitted as a discharge to waters of the United States. So the proposed permit contains a special study requirement, and it has two parts. The study might include a hydrogeologic investigation to determine the fate and transport of wastewater pollutants percolating from Cloverdale's percolation ponds. If that study demonstrates that wastewater pollutants reach surface water during the discharge prohibition season, the city would need to submit a written proposal to evaluate ways to comply with the basin plan discharge prohibitions. Alternatively, if the city does not wish to expend resources and time evaluating the potential connectivity between the perk ponds and surface waters, they may opt to skip the hydrogeologic study requirement and instead submit a written commitment to begin evaluating alternative disposal methods that would prevent discharges of pollutants to the Russian River during the discharge prohibition season. So the permit was circulated for a 30-day public comment period in January of this year. The city requested additional time to review and comment due to the size of the permit and the number of changes. So staff granted an additional 30 days for the city and the public to review the permit. The only comments received during the public comment period came from the city. And actually, in your permit package, the pink section contains the city's two comment letters and staff's response to their comments. And the city had quite a few comments, and I've summarized them on this slide and the following slide, and I believe you have copies of this in your package as well. We received one late comment yesterday morning from the Clean Water Institute suggesting a method for dealing with Cloverdale's wastewater. The comment does not actually affect the permit itself, so staff will provide a copy of that letter to the city. But in this table, the left column identifies the city's comment, and the right column identifies staff's response to the comment and whether a permit change was made. In the right column, red indicates where staff did make a change. Black indicates where no change was made. And in the interest of time, I wanted to focus on the first comment here because this was one of the most significant. And in that comment, the city initially requested to have waste discharge requirements only by removing all NPDES provisions from the order. Staff met with the city in April to discuss the pros and cons of making this change. On May 3rd, 2006, the city submitted a letter stating that it wished to retain its NPDES permit at this time. And even though the city has not needed to discharge directly to the river for over 10 years, they may need the NPDES provisions in the event that the hydrogeologic study shows pollutant connectivity to the Russian River. So here's the other slide. Again, you know, five more comments. I wasn't planning on going over each of the comments in detail unless anybody had a question about them. But, you know, I did want to point out that we did try to be responsive to the city's comments where we felt that we had the ability to do so. So to conclude, the proposed order that is before you for adoption today will provide permit coverage for the city for 5 years. That will take them through June of 2011. This morning, the city pointed out one error in the permit. It's a typographical error, but I thought I'd point it out. On page 13, at the very top of the permit, there's a note A that actually belongs to the table on page 12. And it says carbon tetrachloride, but it was supposed to say dichlorobromomethane, and as it had in a similar table in that section. And so I wanted to point out the fact that page 13, So the comment should read the final MDEL for dichlorobromomethane of 1.1 micrograms per liter is effective beginning July 29, 2006. But with that change, staff recommends adoption of the proposed NPDES permit. And that concludes my presentation.
Do we have any questions for Ms. Goodwin? Thank you very much. And I see the city of Cloverdale eagerly awaiting. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair and board members. My name is Tess Dunham. I'm here today on the behalf of City of Cloverdale. And we, first of all, we want to thank your staff for working diligently with the City of Cloverdale on trying to resolve some of the permit issues that have been raised in this permit. And our comment here today is not necessarily related to the specific application of this permit to the city's current discharge to the percolation ponds, but this permit is a key permit for the city. This hydrogeologic study that Ms. Goodwin referred to really sets up the city's future permits in perpetuity to determine whether the percolation ponds are considered a tributary to the water of the U.S. or the Russian River. Now, I know that you have seen before this very controversial issue of ponds next to rivers and the subsurface drainage and determinations of whether that does cause it to be a tributary. And ultimately, would the city then have to meet California toxics rule standards going directly into the pond because it may eventually make its way into the river? It is for that reason that we see this as a very key permit for the city and have some concerns with regards to the language of the hydrogeologic study. Our main concern really goes to what will the regional board use as a determination at the end to determine if there is pollutant connectivity, as Ms. Goodwin described. We think it's very much a wide open question technically as well as legally. And we do plan to work with your staff as we go forward, but it does put the city in a little bit of a quandary of what path to go. As Ms. Goodwin pointed out, the city has an option right now of either conducting the hydrogeologic study to find out the fate and transport to determine this pollutant connectivity, even though we're not sure what would qualify as that, or to go straight to determining if they need to an alternative disposal method. The city is concerned of going down the hydrogeologic study path, expending $250,000, and coming up at the end of the day with an inconclusive result that ultimately says you still have to go do the alternative disposal method. We are hoping to work with the regional board and its staff to come up with some type of criteria or understanding of what is considered pollutant connectivity in order to make the determination, you know, with as best knowledge that we can, of whether to go forward with the hydrogeologic study now or whether to go straight to an alternative disposal method. Based upon the city's current monitoring, they've done some monitoring of downgradient groundwater wells to try to make some early decisions of which path to go. And our early results tell us that we have tested CTR constituents as well as Title 22 drinking water standards, and we have found nothing that exceeds the criteria that would apply to the Russian River. However, we are uncertain whether that type of evidence and additional evidence of that nature will ultimately resolve and provide some confidence to the regional board that discharges to the percolation ponds do not have a water quality impact on the river. And again, we're not here today to make any changes to the permit as it currently stands, but wish to raise this as a major issue that we think will come before this board again in the future. As the U.S. Supreme Court has now acted on the Rapanos case, we anticipate that will trigger a decision in the Ninth Circuit on the Northern California River Watch case that, of course, deals with the city of Healdsburg. So we look forward to seeing how some of this plays out, and I'm sure we'll be before you again on this issue.
Mr. Corbett.
Yeah, I just had one question. Was your desire then for a waste discharge requirement as opposed to an NPDES permit really dealing with that issue?
Absolutely. And you know, the reason why we ended up with the conclusion to go ahead and maintain the NPDES permit was after talking with the staff, you know, we do realize that should the city have discontinued its NPDES permit and then 5 years down the road it was determined it needed one, they would be considered a new discharger. And as a new discharger under the NPDES permit program, you have more more stringent requirements that you have to meet. So it maintained their interest to go ahead and maintain it.
Plus, I think you would be subject to citizen suit provisions, too. And
that as well, Mr. Corbett.
I think you may have chosen wisely. So. Yeah,
that as well.
Any further comment? Only that, then, from the perspective of this board, that we are in an ever-increasing effort to clean up water. The hydrologic connection is one which I'm sure, as you cite case law, going to be there, and it is going to be on every river in this state. And that you do the study now probably is going to give you some lead time if you have to go to an alternative. But it is something that information that we're simply going to have.
Understand. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Ms. Coleman.
I think it is a fair request from the city, however, to get some clarification from us as to, you know, what is the end point, what should a study look like, so they could scope it out and then make the decision of, is that going to take them down the path? Do they want to go that way, or do they want to just start on an alternatives analysis? So I would offer staff, we've discussed with as staff, that perhaps a letter, a guidance letter to the city on the scope of the study would be really useful, and it's thinking we need to do because this kind of study is also being required in other permits. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I think the hard part is that we unwittingly located human beings next to rivers. If we'd have had the good sense God gave a duck a couple centuries ago, we'd have put people away from rivers and piped the water to them, but that's not what we have done. So this is going to be a continuing problem from Ukiah to the ocean. With that, the only comment card I had, in fact, was from Ms. Dunham. Bring it back to the board. Mr. Cochran.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we adopt proposed waste discharge requirement order number R1-2006-0004 for the city of Cloverdale. For the wastewater treatment facility, NPDES permit number CA0022977 and WDID number 1B840320SON.
I'll second, but ask Mr. Cochran to state those in reverse
We have a motion and a second to adopt the Cloverdale NPDES permit. Discussion? Call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We have a permit. That, I believe, concludes the action items that we have on our agenda. And